To find out how you can reach Latino USA's listeners, visit us online at latinousa.org/support.
From National Public Radio, it's Latino USA. Finish high school, we tell young people. Go to college, get your degree. But for tens of thousands of teenagers, those words are a taunt. The road to college is blocked. Today, the story of an undocumented student.
The whole college process was really frustrating. When they say, are you a citizen of the U.S. or a citizen of Mexico? I'm like, I don't know. I almost feel like E.T., alien.
In this edition of Latino USA, the story of Sam, one student trying to jump the barriers to college and find money to pay for it.
That's probably one of the hardest things I deal with in my job. We take students where they're at. We inspire them to go to college. And then for our undocumented students, we say, we can't help you.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Stay with us for Sam's story, American Dreamer.
This is news from Latino USA. I'm Angela Maldonado. After months of tensions, the political crisis in Honduras has taken a big step towards a resolution. In June, the military deposed and exiled President Manuel Zelaya after critics, including the Congress and Supreme Court, said he acted against the Constitution and illegally tried to extend term limits. Zelaya secretly returned to Honduras in September and has been, to date, hunkered down in the Brazilian embassy in Tegucigalpa. Last week, scheduled elections were held and a conservative rancher, Porfirio Lobo, won the vote. It is now up to the Congress to determine if Zelaya can return to office to finish his term over the next 2 months. Dr. Arturo Valenzuela is the United States Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs. Valenzuela says that having a clean and fair election is a good first step.
The elections themselves are not a way out for a government that was installed through a coup d'etat. There had to be some kind of a process of reconciliation that included the possibility of the return of the deposed president. And in fact, he and the de facto authorities signed an agreement on October 30th that led to that process. And that's where we are today. The next steps are the full implementation of the accord, and that means creating a government of national unity now, setting up a truth commission moving forward.
Turnout for the election was estimated at 60% of registered voters. Porfirio Lobo won by a margin of 15 points over his main rival, Zelaya's former vice president.
That shows that the Honduran people had a very clear choice here. They want to move on, in a sense, past the divisions that this crisis has engendered. And so he's got a strong mandate from the Honduran people. On the other hand, he understands that for Honduras to be recognized back into the Organization of American States for this incident of the overthrow of a president, he recognizes that Honduras has to do more.
That was Arturo Valenzuela, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs. On Wednesday, the Honduran Congress voted to not allow Zelaya to serve the rest of his term. President-elect Porfirio Lobo will be sworn into office on January 27th. Stateside, some Honduran immigrants made their reaction to the elections known on the street and in the voting booth. In Los Angeles, pollsters say at least 500 Honduran expatriates cast a vote for the country's elections. And those who didn't vote organized a boycott on what they called a fraudulent vote. Census numbers estimate 500,000 Hondurans live in the United States, and more than 40,000 live in Los Angeles County alone. In other news, another sign of hard economic times has the Bank of Mexico saying that remittances to Mexico have fallen 36% to $1.69 million from $2.64 million as of last October. Remittances are the second largest source of foreign income for the country. Under these current conditions, Mexican immigrants sent home nearly $1 billion less than they did last year. Along the border, Mexican authorities have made arrests after discovering an underground tunnel extending from Tijuana to San Diego. In a statement issued by the Drug Enforcement Agency, the unfinished tunnel spans just under 1,000 feet in length and reaches a depth between 90 and 100 feet. It was equipped with lighting, ventilation, and an elevator. Reports indicate the tunnel has been under construction for approximately 2 years. There have been no arrests on the U.S. side, but the investigation is still underway. Turning to the U.S., A new report from Human Rights Watch details how expedited deportations and prison transfers of immigrants hinders their ability to defend themselves. In many cases, newly arrested immigrants are moved with no notice to detention centers in states such as Texas, California, and Louisiana. Deputy U.S. Director for Human Rights Watch Allison Parker says immigrant detainees should not be treated like so many boxes of goods shipped to the most convenient place for ICE to store them. The report shows that 1.4 million transfers have taken place since 1999 and last year. Some of the details of the report have been confirmed by a separate investigation done by the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General. That investigation found that some detainees arrived to centers without knowing why they were held. In response to the Human Rights Watch report, a bipartisan group, the Constitution Project, has called for changes in agency practices, which include access to government-appointed counsel. That's news from Latino USA. I'm Angela Maldonado. For more information, go to latinousa.org.
It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. American schools teach students that with hard work, dreams are possible. But some students do everything right. They study, get good grades, awards even. And then they find that the American dream isn't for them. That's what happened to Sam, an 18-year-old from Elkhart, Indiana. Sam was brought to the United States as a child, and his family overstayed their visas. They've lived here for 14 years, and in that time, Sam grew up like any other American kid. But when he was applying to college, he was asked to fill in his Social Security number on a financial aid form, and then he began to face the consequences of being undocumented. Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister of Long Haul Productions met Sam in his last few weeks of high school in Elkhart, Indiana. Today, they share his story. Here's part one of American Dreamer.
Bertha is my saxophone. I've had Bertha three and a half years, and she's old and seen some action, but she's amazing, pretty much. Girlfriend takes first place, though. My name is Sam. I'm 18. I'm a senior here at Central, and I'm in the band and stuff, and jazz band, and I was drum major this year, and past 4 years have been great, and I'm finally, you know, ready to graduate and get out of here.
Thanks for coming to the senior concert tonight. You're in for a treat.
Tonight is our senior concert, and this is the last concert, basically, and this is kind of like the last football games and where the seniors are, you know, awarded.
Sam has been great for about 3 years, but he's really stepped it up to the next level. And this year's Woody Herman Outstanding Jazz Award goes to Sam.
My name's Tim Kernel. I'm the band director at Elkhart Central High School.
This is Sam featured in a sentimental note.
Sam is one of the probably top five musicians I've had. You know, 150 years, I've taught for 18 years.
At first, I feel nervous, but then I'm like, dude, just let go.
He tries to, in his solo, build his solo. This is what is so advanced about him. He starts somewhere, goes somewhere, and finishes it. He tells a story.
I'm actually from Mexico, and I got here when I was five.
My name is Sam, and I'm Sam's father. We came with visa, and we still had the visas. I mean, of course, it's expired, but we still have it.
I don't know if they didn't get updated or who knows what, but I don't remember much, and I haven't really asked him. It just hasn't really been brought up.
Samuel, he don't know anything about it. He just came with us. We never ask him to come. He never say no, he never say yes.
I've been raised an American. You know, that's all I know. Heck, I'm playing jazz. How more American can you get?
We have six outstanding seniors. Okay, so our first senior we want to recognize tonight, he's going to St. Joe College in Rensselaer, Indiana, with $1 million scholarship, it seems like. Kelsey Danny.
Most of my friends, oh, where are you guys going? Oh, I'm Butler bound, or I'm going to IU, Ball State, New Orleans, Hawaii.
And going to Purdue is our saxophone / tubist, Keith Hoover.
Where are you going, Sam? I haven't decided yet. Yeah, that's my crap answer.
It was the most, in my 18 years of teaching, confusing thing, is Sam not being accepted to one of those colleges because of how well he plays. It didn't occur to me that Sam was undocumented at all, and frankly, I didn't care. My job is when the kid comes in, get him a horn, teach him how to play it.
I first found out about his legal status when I actually confronted him about it.
Michelle's my girlfriend, and she's American. She's from the South, and she's a really, really good piano player.
What drew me to Sam in the first place? Duh, he's really attractive. So that was like the first thing I saw him with sax. I'm like, oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, she's pretty cute. The guy thing, you know.
I just picked up on a few things, you know, the way his family acted and how his parents were really cautious about a few things and how Sam avoided certain conversations. And one time I asked him, dude, why don't you have your license yet? And he's kind of like, well, and he gave me this answer that I didn't quite get because I'm sitting going, that makes no sense. But I didn't say anything. I was just like, you know, whatever, keep it cool. One day I just asked him, I'm like, so your family's pretty much illegal, aren't they? And he's kind of like, And he didn't know what he could tell me because his parents have always told him, you know, don't tell anybody, which is understandable.
My mom's always been like, don't give a lot of information, you know, to a lot of people because it could go wrong. If we did have to go back to Mexico, to be honest with you, I would not know what to do because I don't know the language, I don't know how to write. Barely speak it.
He had no clue how the life over there is. They don't know that world. I mean, if we take it over there and leave it over there, they probably die. I mean, they don't know what to do.
Today's Sunday. Like every Sunday, we start our Hispanic ministries at 5:30. Basically, the whole family, you know, up on stage playing music. My mom, she sings. My brother, he plays drums. My sister plays bass, my dad plays guitar, and I play saxophone. My dad's the pastor here, and in his sermons he preaches a lot about keeping the faith even in tough times because, you know, we're never alone even though it kind of seems like it.
Y verán al Hijo del Hombre viniendo sobre las nubes del cielo con poder.
He does like pastor part time. He does remodeling full time. We're in Goshen, Indiana. My dad recently just got a contract here, and this is our first job in maybe a month.
You want me to take the trim, like the bottom tiles, like the trim tile
all around?
We're basically tearing a bathroom apart.
Samuel is a destroyer. He's the one tears on the whole thing. He's good making a mess. He's a natural talent.
Things were going great, but now like things have slowed down. And that's kind of important to us because that's where my dad's revenue comes from. It's not to the degree where we don't have anything to eat, but it's just like there's a lot of stress in the house.
Take all the stuff out, and we need to bring the tub and begin to set it up.
I wish I was doing homework or something that doesn't involve dust and stuff, but it's okay.
Really, that is not something I want for him. For not even my kids. Work and the way I work. No, I don't want for them to get a laid tile or fix a carpet. I mean, they can be educated. In this country.
My dad has said various times, you are going to college. I don't care how, we're getting you in there because you have to get an education, which I completely understand and I get it. Because if I don't, I'm just going to be a chump. can't be a chump. Graduation, Sunday, May 31st. That was a really, really cool day. I put on my robe and looked in the mirror. I was like, whoa, we're here. Crap. I got there and I saw the rest of my peers, you know, just everybody was in blue. My counselor goes, hey, here. And she gives me my Indiana Honors Diploma medallion. And she's like, hey, congratulations, you earned it. And I gave her a hug and I took it out of the case and put it on my neck and I was like, ha ha ha.
My name is Gail Draper and I am the head of guidance here at Elkhart Central High School. I did not know for certain until this year that Sam was an undocumented student. That's not something that comes up in conversation, usually until the college application process.
The whole college process was really frustrating. When they say, are you a citizen of the U.S. or a citizen of Mexico? I'm like, I don't know. I almost feel like E.T., alien.
Because they were undocumented, they were uncertain. Do we tell people we're undocumented? Don't we tell people? Does he even have a chance to go?
I'd really hoped to go to Indiana University down in Bloomington, the biggest campus of all of them, and what they're really known for is music. But what happened was I applied a little too late, and then, you know, I had applied at another school, but they asked for my permanent residence card. I was just like, whoa, we have a problem. So right now, the only place that'll take me is IUSB, or Indiana University of South Bend. I guess that's okay. I could live at home, but I still have to figure out a way to get to class. And it's about 40 minutes from my house.
And it's not that IUSB is a bad school, but he needs to go to a school where there's more competition. There's not that many instrumentalists at IUSB.
The other thing is that when my dad and I talked to Mrs. Draper, we found out that we really don't qualify for financial aid or loans because of my status. So I have no idea how we're going to pay for tuition.
That's probably one of the hardest things I deal with in my job. We take students where they're at, we educate them, we inspire them to go to college, and then for our undocumented students, we say, we can't help you. You can't get a driver's license, so you can't get to school. You can't have money to go to school. You can't really get a job if you're following the letter of the law. It's like a ball dropping.
As I was getting up on stage, I was like, wow, sweet, I'm here. And I could see mom and dad and waving at me and stuff. You know, it was really, really cool, and I got my diploma.
May each of you have the very best of good fortune in your futures. We are now declared the class of 2009 graduated.
Next thing I knew, I looked up, and there were like hundreds of hats in the air, and I threw mine up. And my first initial thought, I was like, I'm free. My second thought was, crap, I lost my hat. And so then I looked stupid looking for my hat. But when I threw that hat up, it was just like this feeling of, this is it. You jump. Now, I don't know if there are feathers or rocks at the bottom. I'm just hoping for the best. And, you know, it'll be great someday. Maybe not right now. But just keep hoping and praying and stuff and pray some more until the knees are raw.
I know that Sam is devastated by the thought of not being able to go to school. His dream is to go to college. His passion is to go for music and to be able to use that music to touch others. Will he have the chance? I don't know.
In a minute, we'll continue with American Dreamer on Latino USA. Quédense con nosotros. Stay with us. Hi, it's me again. This podcast of Latino USA is made possible by contributors to public radio stations. They help pay the freight and cover the costs of making the program available to you to hear when it's convenient. If you're already a member of your public radio station, thanks. If you're not, I hope you'll rethink that decision and make a contribution to support this program and others like it. Visit us at latinousa.org to find a public radio station near you and join the ranks of El Pueblo que Escucha Latino USA. Also, great opportunities exist for companies and organizations to reach the Latino USA audience online, on air, and through these weekly podcasts. If you're interested in having a tremendous impact on the production of this program, consider underwriting Latino USA. For more information, visit us at latinousa.org/support. And thanks for listening. You're listening to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. We continue now with American Dreamer, the story of 18-year-old Sam, an honors graduate from a high school in Elkhart, Indiana.
That Monday after graduation, I woke up, looked in the mirror, turned to my right and saw my cap and gown laying, next to my bed. And I was like, whoa, what do I do now? And it almost made me sick to my stomach, just where to go. And then mom was making food and she's like, hey, why don't you go to work with dad? I was like, oh.
He don't like it, really. He don't like it. He said, Dad, I don't like it. Where to do tile or grouting.
Yeah, we get into the car. We go to Menards or Lowe's or Home Depot, whatever. Get materials, go destroy, rebuild, clean up. Okay, boom, bang. We're done. But, I don't want to destroy my body for the rest of my life, Lately, my dad and I have been kind of getting into, little altercations. Because he's kind of pushing me and he's saying, find a job one way or, you're going with me to work.
I told Sammy, you need to get responsible for all this stuff. If it's South Bend, I think it's like a $7,000, $8,000 a year, not living in the college. Right now, and be honest, the only thing that we have is $2,000 for him to start. I really tell him, you need to find a job too and help us out. Hey, Dad, I don't have a papers. There's 12,000 million people here that don't have papers. You're only one of them. That's it. Go do it.
Finding a job is hard enough here. One in five people don't have a job. So I know a lot of people do it, under the table, but I don't want to be one of those people, I want to do things right.
Sometimes he feel depressed. And I remember one day he said, Dad, all my effort, 4 years working with this thing, and now what I want to do now? Why I put all this input and I'm not going to be able to keep going.
Sometimes when one of us is not feeling so well, come up here and we're like, okay.
This is the trampoline. Come on, Sam.
Up. Sure, why not? Sometimes I stay late at our house and we go outside and we don't really jump on the trampoline, but we just lay down on the trampoline and look up. And depending on if there are stars or not, we just look up at the clouds or the moon.
I don't know. It's like our little island.
It's pretty sweet out here, yeah.
We sort of talk about his financial situation every now and then.
School starts in 40-something days. So I don't know how I'm going to make it.
This fall, I'm going to be attending Bethel College over in South Bend. Yeah, I'll be living on campus in the Shoup Hall freshman year. Woohoo!
I really want to live on campus, too, especially since, ISB is, 45 minutes away, and legally I can't drive because I don't have a driver's license. I shouldn't be driving. But for me to live on campus, it would be another $5,000 that I have to cough up, and without financial aid, it's almost impossible. I can't really pay for tuition as it is.
Me, I've had my whole senior year, it's like, okay, let's take care of this, now let's take care of this, now let's take care of this. And Sam, because he had nobody that's, gone through what he's gone through and go to college, he's had nobody there to tell him, hey, this is what's going to happen. And a part of me feels guilty because I'm like, dang, I'm just filling out essays and stuff and ta-da, I get money.
We were talking about it the other day and, dude, I just bust out in tears, dude. The thing that I struggle with is, why can't I be normal? It's just because I can't work. I'm undocumented. I can't offer much. I have talent, but without a lot of money, I can't go very far. So I'm not exactly sure what my future is, but I'm an improviser in jazz, and that's what I do. It all comes together later. And once you hit that high note, you're done, and you've done a good job.
Next week on Latino USA, we'll continue Sam's story.
It's midsummer, and dude, I need a job.
Sam needs money to pay for college, And finding money or a job is not easy. In part two of American Dreamer, Sam pursues his dream to go to college at Indiana University South Bend, or IUSB. But there are no guarantees.
Okay, as a music student, I need you to fill out this form. So if you'll step around here and fill this up.
Well, finally, we've reached a key point this morning, you know, in the whole college process, finally getting registered and going to orientation today.
What will it cost you?
I want to stay at IUSB, but I don't know if it'll work because I need $10,000. And since I can't apply for financial aid, that would be a lot harder.
Tuition and books don't come cheap, and Sam and his family still have no idea how they'll pay for it all.
It's a little weird. It's like an expensive meal. You don't pay till later, but you don't know if you have enough money or not, so you might have to wash dishes later on.
But if he washes dishes, it's going to have to be under the table.
It's going to have to be no questions asked. It's going to have to be a little risky, but I'm just afraid to take that step.
My name is Michelle Hines, and I'm Sam's girlfriend. There's a risk that, you know, Sam could get deported. His family could get deported, and I don't even want to think about it. But you do have to think about it at times, and it gets to the point where you have to make a decision. Is that a reality that you're willing to face for the good that you'll get, or are you just going to live in fear the whole time?
I know the saying, there's no gain without risk, but there's so much to risk. I don't want my family hurt. I don't want myself hurt. It could go in different ways, so it's like a bomb. It's going to affect every single little thing.
It worries me because he could get in school, get halfway down the road, and then all of a sudden they realize he can't afford it and be like, oh, hey, you know, we can't let you come here anymore.
American Dreamer continues next week on Latino USA. To learn more about Sam and other undocumented students, go to our website, latinousa.org. And for this week, this has been Latino USA. Thanks for listening. Our listener comment line is 800-535-5533. Our email address is lusa@npr.org. Production support for Latino USA comes from KUT Radio, the University of Texas at Austin, the William and Salome Scanlon Foundation of Austin and San Antonio, and the Marguerite Casey Foundation. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join us next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Support for NPR is provided by the A-Mark Foundation, supporting ProCon.org, providing the pros and cons of controversial issues, including health care and immigration. By the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide at FordFoundation.org. And by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR, National Public Radio. To find out how you can reach Latino USA's listeners, visit us online at latinousa.org/support.